The Texas identity. What do you think it might be? Most people might think of a John Wayne-type character as the archetype of the Texas identity. But has that image hit its expiration date? More Texans today live in urban areas than in the country. And even then, maybe more Texans today identify with Pedro Infante's Charro than with the Duke. A new book takes a look at the Texas identity with a series of historic essays that challenge the assumptions about Texas. It's titled Texas Identities, Moving Beyond Myth, Memory, and Fallacy in Texas History. It's co-edited by Light T. Cummings, professor of history at Austin College.
It was our purpose in this book to ask the question, what is a Texan? What is the Texan identity? Texans believe that they are a unique people. Texans believe that their state is historically unique. What is it that makes Texans Texans? Each of the essays in this book, in some way, examines them. Texas identity is very complex. It involves both history and memory. Memory is what all of us know generally about the past. It can come from television, it can come from movies, it can come from music, it can come from what our parents taught us and what we learned growing up. History is a documentary subject in which historians read the documents of the past. We found that Texas history is changing the nature of Texas identity. Texas identity has grown very much in recent decades. There was a time when Texas identity meant something very specific. It was Anglo-American. It was Southern. It was heroic. It was essentially male-centered. The great heroes of Texas history were all men. And so Texas identity in our memory was a very fixed set of ideas that were stereotyped and have been continued in the movies and on television. The academic historians in this book have found that the Texas identity has changed with times. It's our assumption now in these essays that women, people of Hispanic heritage, people of African American heritage, people of Jewish heritage are also Texans, and the Texan identity has been enlarged and refashioned by academic historians. At the same time, historical memory has not kept up with this. There is right now a disconnect between popular memory and stereotypes of what it means to be a Texan in the old sort of Anglo male construct and the reality of who the Texans are today.
But the Texan identity seems to be a very powerful force, and it helps drive state politics and policies that we have. And you have to wonder about that, especially when, as you say, it is based on myth and selectivity in history.
In this book, Stephen Hardin, who is the leading expert on the Alamo, shows very clearly in his essay how in the myth and memory of Texas, we read our present-day values back into history. What happened at the Alamo was significant, but much of what we say about the Alamo today reflects what we think about ourselves and how we take those thoughts and values and put them after the fact on what happened at the Alamo. The same thing happens in politics. We take our present-day political values and we project them backwards onto the past in such a way that we can, at least to ourselves, have a historical memory of continuity. Many of the essays in this book show, however, that the history, actually what happened and what people thought they were doing, is a bit different than memory that involves this value projection of present day ideas backwards on the past. Politics is an excellent example of that. Jean Preuss, who is one of the distinguished historians in this book, has an excellent essay on Minerva Delgado and the Mexican-American struggle in the 1940s for educational identity. And Professor Preuss shows very clearly that up to the present time, the story of Hispanic Texans is not yet part of the stereotypical view out there in society at large about what it means to be a Texan. When somebody thinks of who is a Texan, generally speaking, they don't think of Hispanic individuals from Hispanic heritage, but that today is a very, very, very real part of what makes the state what it is today.
And that is why we're seeing a sea change in what Texas identity is, but then we have a demographic that is very interested in keeping the Texas identity locked into one that resembles something from a John Wayne movie.
That is correct. Memory and what we think about the past in popular stereotype changes very, very slowly. The essays in this book show very clearly that what historians have learned about the Texas past has greatly accelerated the validity about what our history is in terms of diversity. We have a much more diverse history today than the popular stereotypes of Texas memory would indicate. Hopefully, this book, if people read it, will help memory and popular stereotype catch up a little more quickly with the realities of Texas diversity today based directly on our history.
These attitudes that we have here about conservatism being part of the Texas identity is something that was deliberately constructed because there was a progressive past for Texas, but that has been kind of scrubbed out.
The progressive past of Texas and the popular memory was specifically rejected. Memory involves thinking about what happened in the past and also forgetting about things from the past that don't fit the current stereotype. That's where we are in Texas right now. The popular stereotype of what it means to be Texan involves as well forgetting things. An example from this book is the essay by Patrick Cox, a distinguished political historian, who did a biography in the book of W.W. Jones, a Texas rancher. There's nothing more stereotypical in the Texas memory than the role of the rancher as a rugged frontier individual. Professor Cox shows that W.W. Cox was also a progressive businessman. He built a hotel in Corpus Christi. He was involved in the urban development of Corpus. He built office buildings, and he worked very hard as a developer to build up the city of Corpus Christi into a very progressive place. We choose to forget W.W. Jones's role as a progressive developer and concentrate on him and other ranchers in Texas history as rugged frontier individuals. Memory involves selective remembering of things from the past and the forgetting of things that don't fit the current stereotype.
The foundational myth of the founding of Texas, how it used to be a part of Mexico, but we had settlers come in and take the land from Mexico, and then they made the state bloom, and that had they not done that, then the land would never have reached its full potential.
Myths are memories on steroids. It's possible over time to easily change myths with education, but they are very difficult, unlike memory, to significantly alter. There is a myth of the Texas frontier establishment. Anglo-Southerners came to Texas. They fought against the wilderness, the Alamo, Goliad, the Texas Revolution. The Texas Republic created what an anthropologist would call a creation myth to make us unique. Unlike other states, Texas has this very strong creation myth. Creation myths can be powerful. They can also be a bit misleading. A good example from the book in Professor Stephen Hardin's article is the famous line in the sand at the Alamo, in which William B. Travis drew a line and asked the defenders to step across and declare their fealty to what was going on. There never was such a line. Professor Hardin proves that definitively, but it's one of our myths. It's part of our creation myth, and every school child in Texas knows about it. Myths are a powerful way by which history's victors justify what they're doing. In the case of Texas, when you look at Jewish Texans, when you look at women, when you look at African Americans and Texans of Hispanic genealogical heritage, the powerful myths of Texas have sometimes been things the power structure has used to keep its own position vis-a-vis people that are not part of the myth.
Tell me about Ethel Tunstall Drought. Why do you write about her?
Women have been significantly excluded from the myth and memory of Texas. When you think of the important Texans from Texas history, they are all invariably men. Women played a tremendously significant role in taming the frontier civilization of Texas. Ethel T. Drought of San Antonio is a good example. Born during the Civil War, she grew up in the late 19th century. She became a great patron of the Texas art movement. She founded an art association. She founded the Witte Museum. She was a significant force in bringing culture to Texas, and she's representative of women all across the state in the late 19th and 20th century. These women are completely absent from our myth and our memory. They created museums. They created civic organizations. They founded libraries. They founded charity hospitals. They were significant individuals who developed Texas into a sophisticated, cultured place, and they are all absent from the popular myth and memory of Texas. Mrs. Drought of San Antonio is a prime example of that.
Light T. Cummings is a history professor at Austin College and is the co-editor of the book, Texas Identities, Moving Beyond Myth, Memory, and Fallacy in Texas History. It's published by the University of North Texas Press.